As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to some verses we have read in Psalm 119. They are found toward the end of the psalm, the end of the eight verses we know in each part. And so the verse number 60, 165 to 168, these verses I direct you to now. Verses 165 to 168. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Friends, that is what the psalmist was solemnly aware of. He says, for all my ways are before thee. So Psalm 119, the verses 165 to 168, mainly the verses 166 and 167. You see, this is what every child of God is brought by grace to be aware of, isn't it? That God sees them, knows everything about them. So I would put it to you each and to myself, are we daily, hourly aware of this fact that God sees us, knows everything? You young people especially, I would in love say to you, God knows everything about you and what you're doing, even every minute. He sees us through and through, friends. God does. The psalmist who we believe was David, he is clear. He says, for all my ways are before thee. That's how he ends this part of the psalm. For all my ways are before thee. But the wonderful fact by grace is clear here. How he acknowledges, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. I want to especially dwell upon this. We know the first of the verses we've read has a tremendous statement in it. Great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What a great statement it is. Statement of fact. Statement of what those by grace who love the law of God, and it's the much of that, greater part of that, is of course the fulfilled law of God, which Christ has fulfilled. But of course also, in the fear of the Lord, God's people will love the law of God, want to obey it, want to keep it. Although they will be aware of their solemn shortcoming in keeping it. But we want to dwell more particularly in this short time we really have this morning upon this, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. Now can you, each of you and me, acknowledge this? Have we been brought, friends, to know we need salvation? Ere these Old Testament saints, the psalmist in his day, he was brought by the grace of God to know he needs to know his interest in God's great salvation. God's great salvation was, as it were, set forth especially in prophecy in the Word from the beginning of time. Almost there in the Garden of Eden, the first prophecy, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. God's wonderful plan of salvation His wonderful way to rescue ruined man. His wonderful way to bring every one of the characters God has set his love upon into the favour of spiritual exercise and need of salvation. Oh, have we been brought, friends, to know, solemnly know, our need of salvation? Have we been brought then, under God's wonderful favour, to have this wonderful hope? Really, this latter part of the psalm is much upon this. Oh, the psalmist's hope. The psalmist's hope. The good hope the psalmist had of salvation. And here we have it in these words. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. The duration of time, the experience of the psalmist, you know, I believe in stating that it would be remembering and acknowledging the beginning of his being brought to be concerned and to need salvation. And in that time from then to now, as it were, as it is, as he was in his day, I have hope for thy salvation. And friends, I want, as God may help me, for it's, I need it myself. I want to bring it in the way for us to consider. Oh, that time when we were first brought to know our need of salvation. Oh, God's people, they have to have a beginning. God works to begin his work in them. He quickens them. He makes them alive spiritually. Are we all aware? Are you, am I, aware of this? And does it humble us as we feel we're favoured now? We were all dead in sin, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. This is how we came into this world. Though we were favoured, many of us, to be born, I especially much acknowledge in humble thankfulness before my God for being born, having a godly mother that brought me into this world. And what a favour that is. And there are those of you who can remember and feel, you feel thankful for your parents. Yeah, they were gracious people. I know, as there are those of you here, I expect you have yours, as I used to come here 50 or more years ago with my parents, when there was a full chapel almost, but many have gone past the way of all the earth, but many have gone home to glory from this place. And I think of those of you who have those, you remember of your dear godly parents. What a great need it is that we should thank God for them, for that favour. But friends, we cannot rely on their religion, that they were godly, for our salvation. Oh, there's no such thing as hereditary right of salvation. Oh no, it must be all of grace. And there must be the reality of God beginning to work and working in each precious soul he set his love upon. Now you and I, each of you, we each need to know and be assured that it is God that has worked in us. Paul the Apostle, writing in one of the epistles, he speaks of it. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, this is what we each need to know and be clear on and assured about, that it's God's work in us that we hope we can say has made us what we are now. And if it is as wonderfully, oh, it will be wonderfully felt and acknowledged, like we've had in the hymn, singing the hymn, on God's loving kindness, oh, his loving kindness to those he chose ere time began. But in time that love is such, everlasting love, everlasting purpose of love and mercy. And the time appointed came in many of your hearts or your experience when God began to deal with you, began to work in you, began to work, as I have quoted, to will and to do of his good pleasure. Have you got the witness of it? Have you got the favour of this, that you are so blessed to be carrying this favour in your heart and experience that God begun with you, made you concerned, made you to begin to need to pray? I think of it, I addressing in a prayer meeting in Suffolk week last Friday, and upon the theme of the Apostle Saul of Tarsus, who by God's wonderful converting grace became the great Apostle Paul, and the witness was of the change of heart, of him being stopped in his wild career, of God's having seen him ruined in the fall, yet loved him notwithstanding all. The witness, friends, was, behold, he prayeth. You go back to when you first had to pray and cry to God, beg of God for mercy, beg of God to look in mercy upon you, beg of God to help you. Then you go back to it. Oh, the favour of it. This is how, from then, can you say, I have hoped for thy salvation. I have hoped. Oh, was it in great mercy God raised you to a hope? Oh, he raised up hope within you, hope that Jesus Christ did come for you. Oh, then you could acknowledge, I have hoped for thy salvation. You can now as you look back to that. But oh, many days, as I quoted in prayer, have passed since then, since when we were favoured, as some of us were, to know his forgiving love, to know pardon. Many days have passed since then, and it was so in the psalmist's experience, for sure it was. Of all what is written in the Psalms by the under the influence of the Spirit of God, oh, many experiences, many things he had passed through. Like Newton, we can say, some of us here, through many dangers, toils and cares I have already come. Oh, and we would acknowledge it with all our hearts, affection of God. Oh, grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace, if faith is in exercise, we can say it. Grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. Have you got such an experience? Have you got such a testimony to testify in the church of God that this is true in your heart, your life, your case? And in the way that this is set here, friends, it's in the way of the psalmist feeling access to God. He's addressing God. He's pouring out his prayer. He's addressing God. Have you known this favour? Do you have this favour? To gain the ear of your God. To address your God in thankfulness. In acknowledgement of what he has done. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. Lord, I have hoped. Oh, by grace, this is not just a natural statement. It's a holy spiritual statement. It's, of course, of the influence of the Spirit, but it's also grounded upon the experience of the psalmist. And many are blessed in such a way, favoured, and there's this, friends, for sure. The psalmist was very much humbled. He was a humble character now. Oh, think of how you were and I were. In our early days, proud, boastful, strong, confident, self-confident. But as the Lord had to break us of it, humble us, make us to know, we must rely on pleading with God for help, pleading with God to lead us, to direct us. Lord, direct us, we are fools, made to feel it. Convicted, convinced of our sin. This is how we love God's law. Though it was so solemn when we first had the law, by the Spirit applied to us, made us to feel so awful, terribly dreading God's righteous hand upon us to punish us for our sins forever. But oh, how then, oh, in great and wonderful mercy shown to us by the Spirit, there's a way of salvation. Oh, there's this wonderful salvation, God's great salvation. We have it in one of the hymns. Jesus is our great salvation. Worthy of our best esteem, he has saved his favourite nation. Join aloud to sing of him. He has saved us. Christ alone could us redeem. Oh, do we know it, friends? Do we have the favour of it? Oh, have we got the assurance of it? Lord, I have hope for thy salvation and done thy commandments. Done thy commandments. This cannot mean just to think we've done the Ten Commandments, friends. This means, and Old Testament saints look forward, remember, and we look back to Christ's day. Oh, this means the new commandments. Have done thy commandments. Though they hadn't been given in the days of the psalmist, but if we understand it aright, God's purpose of his word inspired by the Spirit to be on record in the word of God forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. Oh, to be in God's wonderful purpose used to many souls to consider it. And this must be in the reality of it as the psalmist look forward to the day of Christ. I have done thy commandments. You know, there may have been many commandments, and I believe there was, that those that had grace and lived by and under the solemn influence of the Spirit of God, given a new nature. For it would be, certainly be the new heart, the new man of grace that would keep the commandments. The old man cannot, does not, but the new man can, enabled by grace. And in that sense, the psalmist could say, I've done thy commandments from a new heart, from the principles of grace in the man, wonderfully given the graces of the Spirit, then he could say in that way, in that light, and in following in experience, he could acknowledge it. I have done thy commandments. But how much more the new commandments, and how important they are. And as we have in the last verse of these 8 verses, the precepts of the gospel. It must relate to gospel day, friends. And looking forward of Old Testament saints to gospel day. And we looking back to Christ's day. And so to consider this and done thy commandments. I have hope for thy salvation and done thy commandments. You know, in a sense, in a way, acknowledging one's great folly and treachery of our natural hearts, confessing our sins and pleading for grace to forsake our sins, knowing godly sorrow and real repentance, godly sorrow working for repentance unto salvation, and being blessed to repent as God enables. We don't call upon people to repent. They can't do it themselves. But God brings a child of God, his child, to grieve and repent of sin. This is what I believe it means. And that will be as in the exercise of the Spirit in the new man of grace. And in that way, then, as the psalmist has much more pleading to do, oh, he's pleading the merits of Christ, pleading the blood that did for sin atone. This is how God's people are by God accepted, as they plead the precious name of Jesus. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. This is a character. Oh, the psalmist was blessed with a pure heart. You know, our Lord spoke it in that wonderful sermon. Blessed are the pure in heart. Oh, God gives his people a pure heart. And this is what he has, I believe. And this is what he's speaking of. It's not him himself as he was in his old nature. It's the favour he's in under grace. The favour he is in by the grace of God. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Do we really have, friends, this evidence in us of the grace of God, of the working of the Holy Spirit, that God has sanctified us, dealt with us, solemnized us, humbled us, and made us to be able truthfully to acknowledge, as I believe the dear psalmist here does, has done, and it's recorded of him. Oh, it's all true, friends. It's true. The word of God is true. The things that are in experience, in the world, just as the solemn things of confession that are in and come in so many times in this long psalm, are true. God will give us to have true and sincere confession of our sins, but then also he will have us to be acknowledging the true things of the favours of God's love and mercy according to sovereign grace, and how he favours his people so that they can now acknowledge, I'm not where I once was, I'm not in that state I once was in. All under the dictates of my natural person, how I was before I was regenerated, but now blessed to be regenerated, made anew, born of the Spirit, and the Lord giving the graces of the Spirit, it is right for me to honour my God and acknowledge what we are made by grace. This is what it is, friends. Now, are there really these things that we have to acknowledge humbly of how we are, friends, now so different to how we were? And does it thus become a solemn concern, a daily exercise, that we might not be left to be under the influence of the old man of sin, but that we might be under the influence of the new man of grace? This is what I believe is the reality of this, in this context here of this part of the word. And so humbly the psalmist acknowledges it. It could easily be thought, friends, it has been, I have fell into the folly of it. Many have. In reading passages of scripture like this, it can easily be thought that, well, as we think of how we are in our old nature, well, how can the psalmist say these things where he speaks of how he's kept the law of God and how he's done such good things, and yet he's a sinner like we are. And we can easily think that, well, I can't understand this. But when God gives light and favours us with the experience of grace, to be under grace, we know that there is a great difference as God so works in us to make us to differ. We are made to be aware of the wonderful things, like we've sung in the hymn, of what God does and favours his people by grace to know. And ere they thus will bless God, praise God, acknowledge his loving kindness, thank him, the heart made so full of gratitude by the holy influence of the Spirit within us, that we thank God for what he's done in us and what he's made us by his grace. It's not that we will ever want to boast of it, but to be so thankful, we hope eternally thankful, for the wonders of redeeming love. We hope to bring before you something of the wonders of redeeming love this afternoon. But friends, as we come to consider this, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Oh, what a favour it is to be in such a feeling sense of thankfulness and understanding, and God having given light, and God having given us to understand the things, the way of his loving kindness toward us, his dealings with us. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, in acknowledging that it is God's salvation. It is what he alone can do, the wonders God alone can do. It's nothing that we've learned ourselves. It's nothing that we've gathered ourselves. It's nothing that we've accomplished ourselves. It is what God has done for us, in us. And so we love the ways of grace. We praise sovereign grace. The hymn that sometimes we sing, Grace 'tis a charming sound. You know, the theme is heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. That is, all the earth, the people of God, they hear and acknowledge it. Everything of grace, it's all of grace. Free and sovereign grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As I bring these things, as God pours them in, friends, and I pour them out to you, does it cause you to feel some blessed measure of thankfulness, what God's done for you? Oh, if you're in chapel this morning and you can't speak of anything what God's done for you, I have to say to you, you're really in a very solemn place. But if you're in chapel this morning and you can speak of the wonders God's done for you, favours you've known, if you can acknowledge that you're not where you once were, you reflect upon that state you was in when you was in unregeneracy, you reflect back upon your early life when you hadn't got a care, when Jesus Christ was as a root out of a dry ground, how he was nothing to you, but then made by grace, God having taken you in hand and dealing with you in mercy, he brought you into these things of the wonders of his grace, and made you know your need of salvation, made you plead, beg of God to have mercy on you, to save you, to not leave you in the state of being condemned under the law. Oh, but wonderfully to raise you, and he raised you to a hope. Can you acknowledge that? Whereas you felt condemnation, then in great mercy, God raised you to a hope, revealed Jesus Christ. The real test of it all, friends, is what think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? As the Holy Spirit made Christ so very exceedingly precious And I say exceedingly, to exceed all other things, made him so precious, far above the object of immortal love, his love to you and your love to him. Is this so? Is this the reality of your experience, what you can testify? And you, in this way, love God's testimonies, because he's given you a testimony. God's testimonies are really these: salvation for the whole church of God. Everyone God set his love upon must and shall be born again. There are ways we can acknowledge God's testimonies, as and by experience we know them, that there is mercy for sinners, the vilest sinner. Oh, a Mary and a Manasseh, they found mercy granted it by sovereign grace. You know, the very worst of sinners upon God's grace rely shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall sing beyond the sky songs of praises to the Lamb that once did die. So you've been made to feel what a guilty, how deserving sinner you are. I can tell you, God, in great mercy, has taught you that, because he will certainly have a purpose if he's taught you that. He will certainly have a purpose to, in his time, if there's any under that condemnation this morning of God's holy law, I believe for sure that the time will come when he will reveal Christ to you. The law will be, ever will be proved by God's people as their schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. The day will appear when God in great mercy will reveal Christ, when he'll cause you to cry out, "Give me Christ or else I die. I'm condemned under the law. I know I deserve the punishment. I am convicted, and furthermore, I am convinced of my sin, convinced I deserve the punishment due." And this is really a blessing, but it's not felt to be a blessing when we're under it. But God will wonderfully bring a soul up out of that state of condemnation and favour them to be raised to a hope in Christ, and Christ will be from that very time made exceedingly precious. More precious far than life and all its comforts are. Oh, is it so with you and me, friends? You younger friends, you may be in these things. I hope you are. Oh, if you feel your sin and guilt is before a holy God, I believe the time will come when God will raise you to a hope that Jesus Christ took all your guilt upon himself. He bore your sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, the Blessed Spirit, oh, I believe the time will come when the Blessed Spirit, it may lead you to any part of the Word of God, but there's a special part in Isaiah 53 where it's so solemnly acknowledged, yet, oh, wonderfully, blessedly, the words that are as of the Father. He hath laid upon his dear Son the iniquity of the whole church. The church will be brought to acknowledge all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but this wonderful favour will be granted to them in God's time, to be able to see and know and feel some wonderful assurance of the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all the church of God, all the family of God's grace, oh, God's children. They're all gone astray from the world. They're all gone astray. We've all gone astray. Committed evils, guilty under original sin, under the fall of mankind, original sin, actual transgression, and many, many mountains of sin arising in their lives. But oh, to see all their sin. This is the grant of God in wonderful loving kindness to his people, to bless them, to favour them, give them to see all their sins laid on Christ, and that he has suffered, bled and died in that substitutionary way, in the room, place and stead of his people. And he has redeemed us from all our great guilt, debt of sin. Friends, oh, what a favour this is to see by faith all your sins laid on Christ. I think it's in two of our hymns. I can't tell you the numbers, but you'll find them. There's, as it were, the words to set and speak of a view of Christ on the cross, a view of the child of God, seeing their sins, a great mountain of them. But then, as the word is so sweet in the theme of it, you see the Lord, you see your sins, you know your guilt, and then you see the Lord on the cross and hear the blessed Spirit say, "All this was done for you, all this that he was suffering, all what he's done in his life and death, and what is accomplished and wonderfully the victory brought for the church through his glorious resurrection." Oh, by faith to see Jesus, who is our great salvation, who suffered, bled and died in our room, place and stead. Oh, these great favours, friends. This is what I believe is here in these verses of this psalm. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. The Lord so working in and for the salvation of every soul he set his love upon, and that each one of those dear children of God being brought by the teaching of the Spirit to know their interest in God's great salvation, to receive mercy, feel the favour, God's love and mercy toward them, to receive in God's time the atonement, to know their sins are atoned for by Christ, to receive remission of sins, to know and feel and receive pardon, to know forgiveness. Oh, may we be able to consider such great favours this afternoon, friends. But oh, that we bless the Lord for the good hope through grace. Amen.